Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Taylorsville, Kentucky, for these two nights of Lift Up the Name of Jesus Winter Revival Meeting. I've been looking forward for some time in coming, and I'm excited and elated to be here. I will never forget that service. The preacher made mention of it a moment ago when my path crossed with Dr. and Mrs. Robbie Stanley and Dr. and Mrs. Hudson as well. And I believe in that service, I still remember it, many, many, many years ago, I believe God knitted our hearts together. The Stanleys are personal friends of Mrs. Hamblin and I and their boys. And in fact, last night, I had the privilege of Brother Brian Stanley being with me in Candor, North Carolina, in a jubilee. And I just feel that some of the finest people, some of the finest servants of the Lord, some of the finest Christians that you'd ever have the privilege of being around are the Stanleys and the Hudsons. As I was making my way here this morning, I flew from Greensboro, North Carolina, through Atlanta, into Louisville, and I was just thinking about the Stanleys and thinking about the Hudsons, and I thought to myself, they are top drawer people. Now, I don't know how it is at your house, but it's usually the middle drawer, or the bottom drawer that has all the junk in it. But those top drawers, I mean, they're just reserved for underwear, socks, and any myriad of other things. And I mean to tell you, the Stanleys and the Hudsons, they're not middle drawer people. They're not bottom drawer people. They're top shelf. They're top drawer. And I'm just thrilled to be here. Now, you won't want to miss the service tomorrow night. Think about it. You already have perfect attendance. You already do. So don't miss tomorrow night. Just go ahead and plan to be here. And I promise you that the songs of Zion will be a blessing. The special music will be a thrill. And the preaching of the Word of God will help each and every one of us. Big statement, Dr. Stanley, there's nowhere in the fundamental world I'd rather be these two nights than right here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Taylorsville, Kentucky, with our friends the Stanleys and the Hudsons. I appreciate Mrs. Stanley's special a moment ago. She slipped out for a cigarette, but when you see her, you tell her that we were blessed by the special music tonight. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and I'll take but one verse of Scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 13. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and verse number 13. A number of years ago now, I received a phone call from my intimate friend, Dr. Shelton Smith, the editor of The Sword of the Lord. And Dr. Smith called me and said that it had come to his attention that in all the years The Sword of the Lord has been in existence, and of course he is the third editor of The Sword, and you'll find it interesting, Dr. Stanley, The Sword is marking its 90th year this year, 2024. And one day Dr. Smith called me and he said, Dr. Hamlin's come to my attention that in the storied history of The Sword of the Lord, there's no other preacher, past or present, who's had more sermons on the front page of The Sword of the Lord out of Luke chapter 15 than you have. I thought that was very interesting. I thanked him for the call, for that information. And just as soon as I got off the call, I checked my own records, and I discovered that now in the 45 years that I've been on the revival road, I've preached more out of Luke chapter 15 than anywhere else in the Bible. Not all that long ago, I was in Luke chapter 15, and God gave to me what I'm going to try to give to you tonight. I want you to listen closely. I know you will. I want you to listen carefully. I know that you will. And if I were to have the opportunity, to preach only one message to the entire fundamental people of God in America, just one opportunity, this would be the message that I would preach to every Christian, fundamental Christian in America. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and I'll take but one verse of Scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 13. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and verse number 13. Dr. Stanley made mention, I believe we are online, we're on internet, and so we appreciate those that have tuned in tonight. And for those of you that are watching online, if you will send us $5, we'll send you a vial of holy water. Not really, but I've always wanted to do that. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. There's a phrase in this verse that I've underlined in my Bible, and you may want to underscore in yours, and it's the phrase, and took his journey into a far country. Do you see it? There it is, and took his journey into a far country. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, my prayer for a prodigal nation. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If in all my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. Lord, I request, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. America is in 10,000 different ways, spiritually, financially, and physically, just like the spend-all sun. This country should be at the top of the prayer list of every blood-washed believer that truly loves the land of the free and the home of the brave. The recovery of any society is dependent upon the return of saints to revival supplication. My prayer for a prodigal nation. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, we find the retrieval or the return of lost treasures. Now, you may want, before you pillow your head tonight, to go back to Luke chapter 15, and to read carefully and prayerfully the 32 verses that make up this chapter, underlining and underscoring every time you find the word lost, because that's its topic, that's its truth, that's its theme, the retrieval or the return of lost treasures. This chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this. The lost sheep, verses 1 through 7. The lost silver or the lost shekel, verses 8 through 10. And the lost son, verses 11 through 32. It is well the physician Luke is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the lost son, that a person learns how they can pray for a lewd and libertine people. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. The sister verse of Luke 15:13 is Psalm 80 and 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. It was Dr. Hudson, President Dwight D. Eisenhower, that once said, there's a need we all have in these days and times for some help which comes from outside of ourselves. Now, President Eisenhower said that in 1953. If he said that in 1953, I would wonder and wish to know what he would say in 2024. Never forget, America is exactly like the prodigal son in this hour, and it will take sincere and serious prayer to bring her back to the Father's house. Now, if you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that, and it even bears repeating. America, America, America is exactly like the prodigal son in this hour, and it will take sincere and serious prayer to bring her back to the Father's house. Someone says, should we pray that God blesses America? Yes. Someone says, should we pray that God favors America? Yes. Someone says, should we pray that God benefits America? Again, the answer is yes. But someone, Dr. Stanley, somewhere ought to go a little bit further and a little bit deeper in their praying for America and pray that God would bring America back to Himself. Now, I understand that Luke chapter 15 is dealing with the prodigal son. I understand that. But at the same time, it can be compared or coupled to a prodigal society. Let's quickly notice tonight the four things that the believer must pray that God would turn America back from. And they're all found here in Luke chapter 15. Let's quickly notice it tonight, my prayer for a prodigal nation. Number one, her real bankruptcy. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. A thing that the believer must pray that God would turn America back from is her real bankruptcy. In verse 14, the physician Luke tells us that the self-indulgent son had left his father and his father's farm with full pockets and foolish pride that soon leads him to full-fledged poverty. Dr. Stanley, some of the saddest words in this story are, and when he had spent all, because they serve as six red lights that every prodigal son and every prodigal society has to speed past to when the inheritance will run out, the platinum MasterCard will max out, and all the extravagant partygoers will find out that there isn't even lint in the pockets of the prodigal. A person must not miss that the younger son's poverty, oh my, came because of his partying. Verse 13, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The songwriter provided the soundtrack for this scene in the scriptures when he penned, sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Friend, you and I need to be on our knees that God would turn back this prodigal nation from her real bankruptcy. The Bible says in Matthew 6:20, but lay up yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, can I go ahead and preach tonight? For too long, America has been woefully only making deposits in the earth's temporal reserve and taking withdrawals from heaven's eternal reserve, that now we're so spiritually flat broke, if the spend-all son was in this service, he wouldn't even panhandle on Wall Street. Should we pray that God would bless America? Yes. Should we pray that God would favor America? Yes. Should we pray that God would benefit America? Yes. But somewhere, at some time, someone ought to pray a little bit further and pray a little bit deeper that God would turn back this nation from her real bankruptcy. I know this will date me, but back on April 21st, 1986, Geraldo Rivera did a two-hour live television special called The Mystery of Al Capone's Vaults. I watched all 120 minutes. They found these vaults underneath the Lexington Hotel, 2135 South Michigan Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Millions tuned in, and we were all able to watch as they busted open the mobster secret cellars, and all they discovered were a few empty champagne bottles in dirt. The millions of dollars they expected were nowhere to be found. If any citizen of this country right now were to stand on tippy toes and peek into heaven's bank for our nation, they would find that it is spiritually as empty. Oh, I wish somebody helped me preach tonight. It's spiritually as empty as Al Capone's vaults. Should we pray that God blesses America? Yes. Should we pray that God favors America? Yes. Should we pray that God benefits America? Yes. But sometime, somewhere, someone ought to pray that God would turn America back from her real bankruptcy. Number two, let me hasten. Still in Luke chapter 15, number two, her riveting blight. Verse 15, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. A thing that the believer must pray that God would turn America back from is her riveting blight. That word blight means basically something that destroys or causes damage. In verse 15, the physician Luke tells us that the self-indulgent son sinks to such a sad place that he gets a job feeding swine. This is employment that would be both distasteful and disrespectful to any Jew. They couldn't even pet a pig, for it would make them ritually unclean. Deuteronomy 14:8. The parallel photo here of the prodigal son and the prodigal nation are undeniable. Friend, you and I need to be on our knees that God would turn back this prodigal nation from her riveting blight. Now, there are several obvious sins that are obliterating America. When I say obvious, I'm talking about, it doesn't take a so-called Bible scholar It doesn't take someone who's been saved over 25 years. It doesn't take someone, when I say obvious, that has so many degrees behind their name, they look like a thermometer. But there are some obvious sins that are absolutely obliterating America. First of all, the culture is depraved. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. An obvious sin that's obliterating America is the culture is depraved. When what was once hid in a back alley is now honored on Main Street as the Grand Marshal of the parade, that country is debauched. Why, Dr. Hudson, if they would have told me at my ordination 45 years ago that there would come a day that I would have to preach against the things that I preach against and your son-in-law preaches against and, sir, you preach against, we'd have never believed it. If they would have told us at our ordination that there would come a time that we would have to raise our voice with an open Bible and thunder against what we have to thunder against in this day and hour, we'd have never believed it. I think about this crowd that doesn't know there's only two genders. Hello? I said that the other night at the conference. I said hello, and a lady in the back row said goodbye and got up and walked out. I couldn't believe Mrs. Hamlin did that to me. I just couldn't believe it. But this crowd that thinks there's more than two genders, let me help you tonight. And those that are watching my way of internet, if you have a dollar in your hand for every gender that God has created, guess what? You only have $2. If you have any more money than that, you've got funny money. The culture is depraved. Secondly, the citizenship is disrespected. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. An obvious sin that's obliterated America is the citizenship is disrespected. One of our nation's greatest problems is crime isn't illegal anymore. Thirdly, the church is dead. An obvious sin that's obliterating America is the church is dead. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. An obvious sin that's obliterating America is the church is dead. Far too many churches need to change the sign on the front of the property to a headstone. There are some churches, I'm not being harsh, God knows my heart, but there's some churches that if the Holy Ghost ever did show up, they'd have to give Him a first-time visitor's card. There are some churches that are so dead I don't know, let me put it like this, you couldn't get enough Holy Ghost unction out of them to their fuel an ant's moped to make one lap around a Cheerio. Preaching not too long ago in a meeting, and a fellow in the front row during the special music, Dr. Stanley, stood up and shouted. When the service was over, I was at my book table, and another preacher, not the preacher that I was preaching for, but another preacher who came to be in the service, came to the book table, and he said, "Dr. Hamlin, I can't believe you didn't sit that fellow down." I said, "Sir, I didn't stand him up." Isn't it amazing that we can have excitement at a sporting event, and we can have excitement at a political rally, and we can have excitement at you fill in the blank, but if you get excited at the house of God, someone will say, "Well, that's wildfire." Don't ever worry about wildfire in a fundamental independent Baptist church, because there's enough wet blankets around to put out any kind of fire. Don't worry about wildfire. And I'd rather be accused of having wildfire than to ever be accused of having no fire. The church is dead. Oh, that every single individual that was in this service tonight and watching by way of internet would realize that the obvious sins that are obliterating America is the culture is depraved, the citizenship is disrespected, and the church is dead. Octavius was a legendary 18th century ghost ship. According to the hair-raising story, the three-mast schooner was found west of Greenland by the whaler ship Herald on 11 October 1775, boarded as derelict. The five-man boarding party found the entire crew of 28 below deck dead, frozen, and almost perfectly preserved. Pardon me? This country doesn't stand a chance with corpse-like churches. That's why it's so important that when we sing the songs of Zion, we sing them with all of our heart. That's why it's so important when the Bible is preached that we say amen and praise the Lord and we say hallelujah. That's why it's so important when an invitation is given, we move from an altar, or rather from a pew to an altar, to do business with God. You see, every one of those things will simply drive death from the doorstep of the house of God, her riveting blight. Three, her revolting buffet. Verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, a thing that the believer must pray that God would turn America back from, is her revolting buffet. In verse 16, the physician Luke tells us that the self-indulgent son sadly wanted and even wished that he could have had supper with the swine, which would have been slop stew. A person almost has to hold their nose when pondering this word painting. Friend, you and I need to be on our knees that God would turn back this prodigal nation from her revolting buffet. Should we pray that God blesses America? Yes. Should we pray that God favors America? Yes. Should we pray that God benefits America? Yes. But somewhere, at some time, someone should pray a little bit further and pray a little bit deeper and pray that God would turn America back from her revolting buffet. Every 24 hours of every 7 days in a week on the fanciest platters ever witnessed by the eyes of man, America is served up the raw sewage of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's so stomach-wrenching, it would make what the prodigal son had in the far country look like a 12-course gourmet meal. Her revolting buffet. And then number four, and last of all, my time is gone. Not only number one, her real bankruptcy, and number two, her riveting blight, and number three, her revolting buffet. And I've been looking forward, Dr. Stanley, to this fourth point since the Lord laid the message on my heart early this morning. Number four, and last of all, her rock bottom. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger, a thing that the believer must pray that God would turn America back from, is her rock bottom. In verse 17, the physician Luke tells us that the self-indulgent son finally becomes the individual that's sorry for a strain, stubbornness, and sin. Alexander McLaren, the great Bible student, once said about this spot in the Scriptures, he, the prodigal, remembers the bountiful housekeeping at home as starving men dream of feasts, and he thinks of himself with a kind of pity and amazement. Newsflash, rock bottom isn't a bad thing, but a good thing, because it brings the prodigal son to a rebound. Verse 20, And he arose and came to his father. Don't miss this. A hog pen, oh my, was the best friend to a strange son, just like a natural disaster, a stalled economy, an unprovoked war, or crooked as a barrel of fish hook politicians can be to a strange society if it gets their undivided attention. Friend, you and I need to be on our knees that God would turn back this prodigal nation from her rock bottom. Hey, if America is not at rock bottom, we're so close that we could whisper and rock bottom could hear us. If America is not at rock bottom, then you know what? I believe we share the same zip code, the same area code as rock bottom. In the 62 years that I've been on planet Earth, I don't ever remember when we have seen such wholesale wickedness, such wholesale ungodliness, such wholesale everything that's anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-morality. If we're not tonight at rock bottom, then I dare say we could whisper and rock bottom hear us. The Bible says in Jeremiah 24:7, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I'm the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Show me either a Christian or even a country that has had a considerable comeback, and I'll show you where somebody had them on their prayer list. Should we pray that God blesses America? Please do. Should we pray that God favors America? Please do. Should we pray that God benefits America? Please do. But somewhere, at some time, someone ought to pray a little bit deeper and pray a little bit further that God would turn America back to Himself, that God would turn America back from her rock bottom. Please look at the text, Luke 15 and 13, and took his journey into a far country. I don't know, Dr. Hudson, all these years that I've been on the revival road, I've preached more from Luke 15 than I have anywhere else in the Bible. But it was recently that this phrase absolutely caught and captured my attention. I know it is a prodigal son, I'm aware of that, but it also can be coupled or connected to a prodigal society, because it's the very same thing. Her rock bottom. I'm closing with this. James J. Braddock had earned his nickname Cinderella Man after a seemingly fairy tale like rise from a poor local fighter to the heavyweight boxing champion of the world. At the very same time as the stock market crash in 1929, Braddock had a hard time struggling to win fights and provide for his young family. But then, Dr. Stanley, on June 13, 1935, James J. Braddock completed one of the most unlikely comebacks in boxing history. As a 10-1 underdog, he defeated Max Baer for the world heavyweight title more than a year after being an unemployed boxer, a fighter, if you can imagine, with only one good hand and the wolf at the door of his home. So, he was christened Cinderella Man after that 15-round slugfest. Oh, that God would hear His people's prayers for our nation, that she would see her condition and come to herself and become a Cinderella country in this century. Her rock bottom. We have seen from Luke chapter 15 what we ought to pray when it comes to revival for America. Folks ask me all the time, do you believe, Dr. Hamlin, that we can have revival in America? And my answer is always the same when I'm asked that. America doesn't stand a chance of having revival if I don't have revival. And if you don't have revival, sometimes we try to leapfrog the thing and we try to think, well, we've got to have national revival before we ever have personal revival. No, sir, no, ma'am. Revival starts with the people of God. And if this country is going to have revival, then guess what? I'm going to have revival, and you're going to have revival, and all of us are going to have revival. And when we do, our country will be in far better shape to having revival when we have revival. My prayer for a prodigal nation. And I've always prayed for America. You can't be in evangelism for 45 years, if you'll let me say it, without having a burden for this country and it being a part of your fiber and part of your being and what you eat and drink and sleep and work, and it just consumes you. But I'll be quick to tell you that since seeing this truth, I've always prayed for America. But when seeing this in the Bible, I began to pray, oh my, more specifically and more laser-like and more exactly. And it's my prayer, and I trust it'll be yours as well, for a prodigal nation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, as the song leader comes and church pianist comes, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder who could lift their hand and say, "Preacher, Dr. Hamlin, I know that I know that I know that I know. If I were to die right now, heaven is my eternal home. I'm saved and sure." You'd lift your hand, saved and sure. All over, God bless you. All over, saved and sure. Saved and sure. Saved and sure. You may be here tonight and you couldn't raise your hand. You'd say, "Well, I'd like to know. I would wish to know. I want to know that more than anything." Oh, listen, make our day if you'd let us take an open Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved for time and eternity. It is a no-so salvation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, but I would lift it now, and I need to be saved, and I need to trust Christ, and I sure don't want to die and go to hell." And you'd lift your hand right now and say, "Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." You're here tonight, and as a Christian, God has spoken to your heart about this matter of praying for revival, praying for America. Again, let me reiterate it. Every blood-washed believer that calls America their home ought to pray every day for our country, that God would bring her back. I have 4 grandchildren. There's Madison and Mason and Evan and Brooklyn. And Dr. Stanley, I so want them to enjoy and experience the America that I've enjoyed and experienced. Friend, it's going to take more than a ballot box. It's important. But the prayer closet has to overshadow the ballot box. And I wonder who'd lift their hand tonight and say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart, and I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before." Hands are going up for our nation. More specific, more laser-like, more precise. We stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kind attention of these, my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that not one in any way would grieve, resist, or quench the Holy Ghost. May this be a time of great and glorious victory. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed as our sister begins to play. And brother, if you would sing by yourself. If you would, thank you. And no hymn book, that's it, that's right. No hymn book in your hand that would...